This is Off the Path from WSHU Public Radio. I'm Davis Donovan. This season, we're doing something a little different. We're focusing on the rich nautical history of the Northeast. Seaside towns, lighthouses, whaling voyages, and of course, pirates. So we're calling this season Off the Plank. Stick around at the end of each episode. We've invited a few musicians to share a sea song connected to the story. We begin with Black Sam Bellamy, who was really, really good at being a pirate. He plundered more than 50 ships and stole more than $120 million in today's money in a matter of months.
Yeah, I would say that Sam Bellamy, before he lost his life in the wreck, was one of the most successful pirates that we know of.
That's maritime historian Eric J. Dolan. The wreck of Bellamy's ship, the Whydah Galley, ended his short but spectacular career and his life, and left the ship and its treasure buried at the bottom of the sea off Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Like many pirates, we don't know much for sure about Black Sam Bellamy. We know he was from England, but he lived on Cape Cod for a time.
There's not a lot of information before he sort of breaks onto the scene of piracy.
Legend says Bellamy wanted to marry a beautiful Cape Cod woman named Mariah, known as the Witch of Wellfleet. And so he needed a fortune. That part may be true, but there's no hard evidence to support it. What we do know is that he set off to seek his fortune.
He and a buddy decided to go down and try their luck in diving on the treasure ship wrecks off the coast of Florida, because there was a hurricane in 1715 and many of the treasure ships that were transiting between the Caribbean and going back to Spain with all the gold and silver on board sank not far from the Florida coast.
Turns out they weren't so good at diving for sunken treasure.
But now that they were down in the Caribbean off the coast of Florida, they decided, well, let's go into piracy. And they basically slowly worked their way up the pirate ladder, so to speak.
They joined up with a pirate named Edward Hornigold and his first mate, Edward Teach, soon to be known as Blackbeard. But Black Sam Bellamy went solo in less than a year. He took over command of Hornigold's ship, the Mary Ann.
He really came from rags to riches. You know, he went to sea in the next thing. He was a captain of a pirate ship sailing the Atlantic Ocean.
Brandon Clifford is with the Whydah Pirate Museum in Yarmouth, Massachusetts, on the Cape. He says Bellamy's blistering crime spree took him up and down the Atlantic coast from Canada to the Caribbean, but they mostly stayed near the Virgin Islands. Along the way, they captured other ships, including the Whydah.
These pirates had plenty of money and plenty of weapons, as we can see.
Brandon walks me through the winding halls of the Whydah Pirate Museum.
Here we're looking at a display case that has a few different pistols from the pirate shipwreck Whydah. There's different firing mechanisms of these flintlock pistols. These weapons were very valued by the pirates. When boarding another ship, they could carry as many as six of these pistols dangling off their bodies, you know, keeping their arms free for fighting with swords and also having multiple rounds to fire.
But here's the twist. Brandon says Bellamy rarely used these guns and swords.
He was fairly non-violent. They were really able to use like intimidation. You know, if they were well-armed and looked wild and unruly, they were able to capture these ships with only firing, say, a single shot. They didn't necessarily want to damage the ship that they were taking. They were interested in the goods on that ship that they could get.
Accounts of the time, true or not, played up Bellamy's nonviolence, making him out to be an 18th century Robin Hood who showed mercy and generosity to his victims. One story recounts how he stole a ship and tried to give it back to the captain, but got outvoted by his pirate crew. They voted to sink the ship instead. These words are attributed to Bellamy as he explains to the captain how pirates are just trying to get by in the world and live free.
I'm sorry they won't let you have your sloop again, for I scorn to do anyone a mischief when it is not to my advantage. Damn the sloop. We must sink her, and she might be of use to you. They vilify us, the scoundrels do, when there is only this difference. They rob the poor under the cover of law, forsooth, and we plunder the rich under the protection of our own courage.
So that speech probably didn't happen, but it's become part of the Bellamy legend. The central part of that legend is what happened when Black Sam Bellamy took over the Whydah with its massive treasure. So here's the backstory on the Whydah. It was an English ship built in 1715, and it carried enslaved people from Africa to the Americas at the height of the transatlantic slave trade. The name actually comes from a part of Africa where enslaved people were frequently sold. It was a big ship, three masts, 110 feet from bow to stern and weighing in at 300 tons, and it could move fast for a ship its size. Brandon Clifford at the Whydah Pirate Museum says the ship was also heavily armed.
The Whydah was designed to carry about 28 cannon. We've found far more than that. At the time of her sinking, she would have been able to contend with a Navy frigate, for example.
Which makes Black Sam Bellamy's capture of the ship on its maiden voyage all the more impressive. He and his first mate, Palsgrave Williams, spotted the ship as she was leaving Port Royal, Jamaica, after dropping off hundreds of enslaved people from the west coast of Africa. She was headed back to England loaded with coins, along with sugar, rum, indigo, and other precious goods from the sale of enslaved people. That's when Black Sam Bellamy saw her. He chased her for 3 days. Historian Eric J. Dolan.
And unfortunately for the Whydah, Sam Bellamy and Palsgrave Williams and their pirates captured the Whydah.
It wasn't a violent capture. In fact, apparently only one cannon shot was fired. Bellamy gave the captain of the Whydah one of his old ships and let him sail away, true to his reputation as a pirate who could be surprisingly generous to his victims.
And the Whydah quickly became Sam Bellamy's flagship pirate vessel.
Dolan says the Whydah was an intimidating sight when it reached the east coast of the U.S., the head of a fleet of pirate ships captained by Bellamy.
This mini pirate armada headed north. They attacked some more ships off the coast of the mid-Atlantic.
In April of 1717, the pirates were just off the coast of Wellfleet, Massachusetts, where Bellamy had lived for a time. There are theories he may have been on his way to visit his former lover, Maria, but this is all legend and speculation. A violent nor'easter blew in, and the Whydah slammed up against the sandbars of Cape Cod. Sam Bellamy didn't survive. Neither did the youngest member of the Whydah pirate crew, 10-year-old John King. Brandon Clifford, back at the museum, shows me King's recovered leg bone, complete with a leather shoe and a silk stocking. King and his mother were passengers on a ship captured by Bellamy.
And at some point during this scuffle, John King decided that he wanted to join the pirates. So the story goes he threatened his mother and joined Bellamy's crew. It was probably not the best decision because months later he was in the shipwreck and did apparently die.
A few pirates managed to survive and swim to shore. Two from the Whydah and a few more from one of Bellamy's other ships, also caught in the storm. Historian Eric J. Dolan again.
The men who survived were put on trial. A number of them were hanged. And all the money was now at the bottom of the ocean in shallow water, just about 1,500 feet from the beach.
Within hours, the shore was crawling with people scouring the sand, looking for treasures from the wreck. This was a common practice on Cape Cod. These people were called moon cussers because they did their work best on dark nights when the moon wasn't out. They found a few items, but nothing close to the treasures everyone knew must be on board. Dolan says Bellamy's death in the storm contributed to his reputation as a very successful pirate.
And if you wanted to play a thought experiment, let's say that the ship didn't sink, and then he would have continued his piratical ways, and the odds are, just on average, he probably would have been captured.
That was almost always the fate of pirates in the so-called golden age of piracy.
So there's no expectation that he would have beat the odds and been able to retire somewhere with his riches. That was a very rare situation for pirates, especially during the second part of the Golden Age.
More than 2.5 centuries passed after the Whydah sank before another Cape Cod resident followed a treasure map to find Black Sam Bellamy's sunken fortune. That's when we come back on Off the Plank.
Sometimes you need a little jolt of caffeine. Sometimes decaf is better. Whatever mood you're in, the music on Sunday Baroque is a satisfying brew. Pour yourself a steaming mug and take a sip of Sunday Baroque, Sundays at 7, here on WSHU.
Welcome back. This is Off the Plank. I'm Davis Donovan. The pirate ship, the Wittigally, rested on the seafloor for more than 250 years, along with the remains of its crew and stolen treasure. That was until Barry Clifford, a lifelong sailor and salvager from Cape Cod, recovered the ship in the 1980s. Clifford grew up in the 1950s hearing legends of a long-lost pirate ship somewhere in the waters off the Cape.
Every kid, any person that ever walked a beach, I think everybody's thought about finding pirate treasure. I mean, I've read stories about people finding Captain Kidd's ship in Kansas. This is the stuff that Robert Louis Stevenson wrote about. It's the stuff that I dreamt about.
That's Barry Clifford speaking at a 2013 presentation for National Geographic. He didn't have many leads.
This was a Jack and the Beanstalk deal. And I came across this document, which is a map.
A real map to buried pirate treasure. It was made by a man sent to salvage the ship immediately after its wreck in 1717. Clifford found it in the archives at the Boston Public Library. The salvager had scrawled a note to indicate the very spot he saw the ship just before it broke apart and sank into the ocean.
And he said, "The riches with the guns will be buried in the sand. The riches with the guns will be buried in the sand." That resonates. Every night I go to bed, I dreamt about that for 30 years.
There's a big blown-up replica of that map that greets visitors to the Whydah Pirate Museum in Yarmouth, Massachusetts. Brandon Clifford, Barry's son, walks me past as he reminisces about what happened when his father followed that map.
I was 4 years old when Barry went to look for the Whydah, and I believe I was around six when they first started to find remnants of it.
First, they found a crusted cannonball and a coin marked 1684. Brandon remembers going along on the boat to watch his father and other divers coming up with artifacts.
And it was amazing. It was amazing to see as a kid. I felt like the divers looked, you know, they were like astronauts to me. I loved being on the water. I recall times where I spent days out at a time, you know, maybe stuck out there in the fog with the crew. And eventually, I just learned the trade.
Barry Clifford's crew started to find bigger and bigger parts of the ship. They found a huge, thick rope, surprisingly well-preserved in the sand. It's on display at the museum now.
Here you have the hawser, the ship's hawser.
What's a hawser?
A hawser, this is a very large piece of rope that would have been used to moor the ship, maybe tow it. It would have been hanging off the bow, right?
Clifford's crew still couldn't prove this was the Whydah. And then 2 years into their salvaging in 1986, divers found a large iron bell at the bottom of a 20-foot pit. It was covered in concretions, a thick, rocky mass of sediment that accumulated after years on the ocean floor. In his National Geographic presentation, Clifford remembered how his lab set to work scraping it all off.
And one day I get a call from the laboratory and said, "Barry, you better get over to the lab. We just found a W on the bell."
W for Whydah. The whole name eventually became clear. That proved it. They'd found the legendary pirate ship. Brandon shows me the bell now. It gets a whole room to itself in the museum. It's kept in a big case in the center, under eerie lighting.
This is the bell of the Whydah. It looks as though the bell was kept on the bow of the ship.
Inscribed with the words, "The Wittigally, 1716. And it's still caked in some of that sediment from the ocean floor. Barry Clifford and his crew found far more artifacts over time, but the one thing they kept finding over and over was coins. Tons of coins. Clifford showed photos of his finds in his presentation.
We were bringing up bags of treasure, and in the bag, there were these chunks of gold. Each one of these pieces of gold, they're broken up into pieces, and all of these black objects are pieces of eight. Coins, Spanish coins, Dutch coins, French coins.
Those coins are highlighted in various displays at the Whydah Museum, different styles and currencies, but a lot of them are kept in a big, backlit glass case, spilling out of a wooden treasure chest. It looks like something from Pirates of the Caribbean. Barry Clifford's son, Brandon, shows me around.
These are coins, silver coins from the ship Requita. They were from largely from Lima, Potosi, and Mexico. These are one of the more common types of artifacts we find. And we do find them just as you see, on the seafloor, buried in the sand. Maybe not quite with so much luster, but every one of them is very unique, the shape.
I'm going to take a guess that the chest is not something you recovered.
No, the chest is not. No, it's just for display purposes.
Something occurs to me while I'm talking to Brandon. He and his dad are professional salvagers, just like Black Sam Bellamy. In fact, Bellamy's piracy career probably began because of his failed attempt to salvage a fleet of ships off the coast of Florida in 1715.
I've always liked that story about him because we can relate to it. You know, we are divers and we search for these artifacts and, you know, maybe we'll find a coin from, say, the 1715 fleet, and perhaps Bellamy dove for that coin and now we're diving for it.
A connection the pirate Black Sam Bellamy might have appreciated too. I'm Davis Donovan. This is Off the Path. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, I'm bringing on a few musicians this season to help us tell our stories through song. They are the Ranzo Boys, Lafayette Matthews, Jules Pipehearl, and Lindsay Smith. They've chosen traditional music of the sea, and they say these songs help illuminate what life may have been like for sailors back in that era.
This is called Jolly Sailor Bold.
That's Jules Pipehearl of the Ranzo Boys.
A lot of sailors and sailors turned pirates left lovers on the shore, and this song is about one of those women. Samuel Bellamy is rumored to have loved a woman named Mariah Hallett, so we thought the name Mariah being in this song was a cool connection to the episode. If you're curious where you've heard the song before, it was in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Upon one summer's morning, as I carelessly did stray, down by the wall of Wapping, where I met a sailor gay, conversing with a charming lass who seemed to be in pain, saying, William, when you go, I fear you'll not return again. Her name, it is Mariah, she's a merchant's daughter fair, and she's left her home and family in £3,000 a year. Her heart is pierced by Cupid, she disdains all glittering gold, and there's nothing can console her but her jolly sailor bold. His hair it did in ringlets hang, his eyes as black as sloes. May happiness attend on him wherever he may go. From Tower Hall down to Blackwall, she'll wander, weep, and moan, all for her jolly sailor bold until he does return. Her heart is pierced by Cupid, she disdains all glittering gold. There is nothing can console her but her jolly sailor bold. So come all ye pretty fair maids, whoever that ye be, who love a jolly sailor bold that plows the raging sea. While up aloft in storm and gale, from you his absence mourn, and firmly pray God speed the day he home will safe return. Her heart is pierced by Cupid, she disdains all glittering gold, and there's nothing can console her but her jolly sailor bold. Her heart is pierced by Cupid, she disdains all glittering gold, and there's nothing can console her but her jolly sailor bold.